Well, welcome everybody. Today on Voices of Courage, we are welcoming Christopher Van Buren. He's a thought leader at the intersection of consciousness, finance, leadership, and human potential. With more than four decades of experience in wealth management, enterprise risk management, quantum research, and executive leadership, Christopher has held senior positions with some of the world's most respected financial institutions. Throughout his career, he has explored not only how wealth is created, but how consciousness influences every aspect of financial success and personal fulfillment. Christopher bridges a unique perspective that bridges the worlds of science, finance, and human awareness. His work challenges conventional thinking, and by demonstrating that true wealth extends beyond money to include purpose, alignment, resilience, and the conscious choices that shape our life. Today, we're going to explore how our thoughts, beliefs, and emotions and the level of consciousness directly influence our ability to create abundance and wealth in a meaningful life. Christopher, welcome to the show.
Thank you. That's quite an intro.
Well, you know, for generations, Chris, you and I know this, you know, we've been taught that wealth is primarily the result of hard work, education, strategy, timing, opportunity. You know, while all these elements are obviously important, it's just a little piece of what we really need to focus on to be able to really create true wealth. I guess true wealth is, you know, that area you and I talk about a lot. You know, it's about that, you know, financial wealth is important, but true wealth is even more important because that encompasses the whole being, the whole purpose in, you know, how we show up in life, how we connect with our own purpose, leaving our own legacy, and, you know, why we're even here. So glad we could talk about this today.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Where do you want to start?
Well, you know, let's start with beliefs, emotions, maybe even perceptions that create create wealth. Let's just start there. Yeah.
Wow.
That's it's a big place to start.
Yeah, it is. It's a wide topic.
I'm going wide right now.
So okay. We can start narrowing in as we go, I guess. Well, let's see. Beliefs. I definitely have a lot to say about beliefs.
Yeah. Let's start there. Let's start with the beliefs. Some of the beliefs that maybe the disempowering beliefs that people have around creating wealth that stops them from really generating wealth in their life.
Yeah. I mean, that's the typical approach in the, you know, personal development field is, you know, adjusting your beliefs to be more aligned with wealth building principles. And removing or reprogramming what they call limiting beliefs, which you could also just call unwanted beliefs, beliefs that you don't think are in alignment with, you know, your goals. And all that's fine. I don't have a problem with any of that. But I think it leaves out one important piece, which is maybe aligning your goals with your beliefs. See, a lot of people, they have the beliefs they have for a reason. There's a lot of ways we have beliefs. Through, you know, logical conclusion, evidence. Those are great ways to have beliefs. Some people have beliefs based on faith or the faith in someone else telling them something, an expert, let's say, or a religious leader or something like that. And then, of course, we have beliefs that we are given or programmed in based on our culture, society, and upbringing as children. And those are the beliefs that I think most personal development experts focus on. It's like, well, what did you grow up with that you didn't realize you were believing, right? And there's plenty of that. And I'm not undervaluing the importance of that process. But there's also the process of, I have certain beliefs and maybe the goals I've been told about, maybe the dreams that I'm told I should have, need to be aligned with what I already believe in my soul. So I think, in other words, I think maybe we've been given a set of dreams that maybe isn't authentic with us. Maybe our purpose and our mission is not to have $1 million and an island of our own, right? Maybe it's something else more deeper, you know?
Well, I think you're touching on something that is very, very key. First, I want to just say, you're right. The personal development industry has done a really good job of being able to help people maybe identify some of their limiting beliefs. And, you know, and that is a process. That's an important piece, to identify that and to release that. But once you release it, you know, you don't keep going back over that time and time again. It's what you're talking about. And I think this is a real key to people creating wealth. And it's called, you mentioned it three times now, alignment.
Yeah.
And you just said alignment with our soul. What does that mean?
Well, that's a big question too. I can go into a whole show or just on its own. People define the soul in very different ways. I particularly like the sort of Jungian definition, which is that it is a storehouse of information. Now, most people also think of the soul as something that lives on, you know, beyond this life. It lives on in some way, and there are various ideas about what that way might look like or be. But the fact that it lives on is important, and that's not in contradiction with the Jungian idea of the warehouse of information. That warehouse of information is permanent.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
Right.
Yeah, and Carl Jung talked about the Akashic records, right? Which is how he named it.
Yes, and which is that. Yes.
This database of consciousness that we all have access to, you know, and I think we always point to the most obvious ones, like the Einsteins or the Teslas or the ones that have been able to really, the Edisons, the Kodaks, the Gettys, Musk. That have been somehow tapped into this database.
I mean, maybe they're just fortunate. There's a lot of reasons why they might be successful in today's standards, or even, you know, 100 years ago standards, modern world standards. And it might include that. The ability to tap into that database, that storehouse of information, is rewarding in ways that are way deeper than, you know, outward signs of wealth. It's way deeper than that. It's really about aligning your soul with your life, you know, which is, I mean, if you can imagine that, you know, that's way more powerful than simplistic ideas of wealth, right? It's a deeper wealth.
Well, and you know, it seems like we all have kind of a unique, well, we all do have a unique blueprint You know, I've got a different fingerprint than you. I've got different DNA than you, and from everybody else, it's very unique on a physical level. But I also submit that on a metaphysical level, where we all come together with this peace that we bring in, and the question is how to discover that.
Well, I'm of the belief, mostly that. That most things evolve, evolution evolves toward collectives. And I mean,
what does that mean? It evolves towards collectives.
Well, that the individual within any system is part of a collective. So, I mean, just look at a tree, right? A tree grows from a, you know, foundation. It branches out. The branches then branch out more. Those branches branch out more. And then you have leaves on the tree. Those are, you could call that the individual. Back up. Zoom out. And what you see is a collective called the tree, right? And then zoom out some more. You're in a forest. That's another collective. Zoom out some more. You're on planet Earth. That's a collective. Zoom out some more. You're in a solar system, et cetera, et cetera. You can zoom in and out, you know, infinitely or close to infinitely. And so if that's how evolution works, if that's how life, you know, moves forward, yeah, then we too are part of a collective. And if we have a consciousness, our consciousness is part of a collective. So the idea of a collective consciousness is very aligned with this idea, right? I know that collective consciousness to some people sounds kind of woo-woo. It's like, oh, we don't really know about that. Well, actually, everything evolves toward collectives. And so if we have a consciousness, there's probably a collective consciousness. And so, yes, we have access to this collective. Can we use it? Right? Can we access it? How do we access it? We are an individual point. Any one of us is an individual point within that collective. But zoom out, right?
Well, I, with our topic on creating wealth, this is a big piece, because when we start letting go of that I'm doing all of this and I'm doing this alone and it's all about me.com, when we start to release that and start to realize that we're part of a collective, we're part of a plan in my world. Where we are part of this and we are bringing forth these gifts, these talents, these abilities that we have inside that, like you said, Chris, are evolving. You know, just like the tree evolves eventually, the tree, you know, if it's a flowering tree, it has flowers and it has fruit. And we can use that analogy for ourselves. In this broad sense of the term wealth, that we're bringing into the world. But a lot of us have, I think, misaligned is the word, misaligned with who we think we are, what we think we're doing here, and what life is like calling us to do. And I think that creates a lot of anxiety, stress, and, you know, eventually addictions and a lot of other things.
Yes. And there's, I think, one sort of roadmap. I mean, there are many roadmaps, many ideas in the roadmap, but there's one piece that I think is very accessible to anybody. And it helps us align and helps us start that process of navigating this consciousness. And that is passion. What is your passion? What turns you on? You know, what do you love? What do you love doing? What do you love hearing, thinking, seeing? Activity, all of it, just passion. Following your passion is I think a very, very good way to navigate this mass of information that we have here in this country.
Well, and I think what you said is really accurate. I want to point that out. It's what you love. It's not necessarily what you want, but right, it's what you love. And there's we have a lot of wants. You know, maybe a lot of wants, needs, and desires, but it goes down to that. What do I feel in my heart that I really, really love?
Yes. And understanding the difference, I'm glad you said that, because understanding the difference between passion and want is important. And some people can get that confused. So it is important to know that distinction. So this isn't about what I want so much. This is about what I love and what I am passionate about, what I feel I want to create or do or be.
You know, I know a lot of folks, I know this is where I started. I started with, this is what I'd love to do. This is what I love in my life. But there was a sense of, in the beginning, a sense of hopelessness. Like, it's too big. How am I ever going to step into this? What's that about?
Well, I think we can just go with that, go to a time-honored tradition of chunking it down. One of the things, and this gets into something I did want to talk about, which is motivation, right? People are losing their motivation right now. There's a lot of sort of hopelessness going around.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do I get motivated to do even my passion? I'm not motivated. And I understand that. And one thing that keeps us motivated and keeps that drive going is the ability to have small wins along the way. And that comes from chunking it down and saying, listen, I'm not trying to do the whole thing. I'm not trying to be all of it. I just want to have one little win, right? And so I'll set that little goal and say, okay, if I can get that, you know, then it inspires me to keep going. And that's sort of the management and maintenance of motivation, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm thinking that the motivation piece is how, consciousness influences financial reality. Because without the motivation, the consciousness is stagnant. And motivation ties back into understanding what we love. It also ties back into what you started with purpose, right? The why. Why am I doing this, right?
And it's fueled by hope and aspiration. So you can have all that why, you can have all that understanding and that purpose, and you can still lose motivation due to lack of hope and desire and, you know, positive expectation. So maintaining that positive expectation, that hope and that expectation of good outcome is essential to sort of as the sort of, you know, energy that drives this, that what you just described. And so all of that has to come together. And I'm just saying one great technique for keeping that going is those little wins. So chunking things down to have regular little wins that you keep going, that keeps you going and keeps that fuel going.
Yeah, I think the other piece to that is what I'm all about is courage. Courage is a big piece here because courage... courage is an energy, just like hope is. Courage is an energy. It's a vibration. It's a feeling within oneself. It's a very inspiring piece, but it doesn't show up until you walk into the unknown, when you're doing something you don't know.
Yeah, which you need to be doing all the time, walking into the unknown, yeah. Right? And that's part of the journey, and it's an essential part, and hopefully that comes along with. So I put that courage into this cluster of ideas. Yeah. It's one of a cluster of things, including curiosity, patience, resilience, and perseverance. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so courage is in there. And so those things all, for me, they all form a little cluster of emotions that and ideas that keep us going and keep us aligned. And you know, like you were sort of suggesting is, you know, courage is like going forward in the face of the unknown. Resilience is keep going, even with hard, you know, result, even though the results are difficult, keep going. It's like grit is another word for that. But also patience, like, okay, I could just be patient for the outcome as well. All of these things kind of form this cluster of, ways that we help ourselves while we're navigating this this big field.
And, you know, I'm you know, with the theory of evolution, you know, I remember when I was working on patience.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody says, don't pray for patience because, you know, that's going to really mess you up. Things are going to show up and then are going to create that. And I thought, well, I'm not going to be afraid of that. I'm going to have courage around it. And, you know, but I thought I'd give it a little help, too. So I used to always want to get on the freeway and go really fast, right, to get to my destination because I'd always be running late.
Right.
but I thought, well, I'll develop patience. I'll get behind the biggest truck and get in the slow lane and develop some patience here and see what happens, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Weirdest thing happened. This happened consistently. I'd get to my desk, even though I'd leave about the same time that I normally would when I rush, I'd get there earlier every time I'd slow down. That's the weirdest thing I'd ever experienced. Yeah. But I guess my point is that each one of those qualities we're talking about needs to be developed. Patience, courage, hope, resilience, persistence, each one of them.
Yes.
To create this thing we call wealth, if we really want wealth in our life.
Yes, or the road to wealth. It's
Yes,
because I agree. It needs to be. I'll use the word practiced as well, developed and practiced, and sometimes just practicing it develops it, right? You know, patience and resilience can just be practiced, but you have to be conscious about it. You have to know you're practicing it. So consciousness is in there, awareness of the process, and yes, the road. These are critical elements on the road to building wealth and building that kind of sustainable wealth that is driven by the soul and by your passion.
Well, you know, when I grew up, I know I was taught critical thinking, skeptical thinking, analytical thinking. And the thing that they kind of left out from my education was intuitive thinking, insight thinking, and learning how to expand creativity and awareness.
100%. One of the things I talk about on this topic of, you know, success, yeah, if you will,
yeah,
is, you know, the people talk about mind, body, spirit. And on the road to success, I talk about, you could call it mind, body, environment, or what we think, what we do, and what we surround ourselves with. And so let's start with the mind and those things that you just mentioned. You know, resilience, perseverance, but also intuition, what you mentioned, intuition.
Yeah.
Very important, along with what you think, you know, what's going on in your mind, your mental habits, your motivation, your curiosity. I also add things like detachment from the outcome, which I think is a critical part of the thinking process that comes with this, is yes, you're passionate. Yes, you have drive, but you also have a little detachment. This helps you with your resilience and your patience.
Yeah.
Learning, reviewing, adapting. These are all mental aspects of this path, right? And all,
you know, what I've learned along the way is that stillness is the price of creating wealth, right? Stillness, being still. And what I mean by that is that intuition and insight are developed not by thinking more and running more and going faster, but it's slowing down to really succeed with that. It's being able to meditate, be in nature, be quiet, be still, be with oneself. That insight is developed because we start to hear the voice of the soul.
Agreed. I also think you can stimulate insight and intuition by studying, learning, being with how systems work. And that could be, systems can be a lot of things. It can be the system of science. It can be the system of astrology as a system. You know, there are lots of systems, you know, human nature, how humans react, psychology as a system. So understanding and learning more systems, mm-hmm, puts that into your storehouse, mm-hmm, that is accessible by your through your intuition. When you get still, like you're saying, when you get still, you then have access to that. And so, yes, you can develop and increase your intuition through these through understanding of systems.
Well, I think that's there's a lot to that, Chris. And I, you know, it's for me, like I'm an author, right? You know, I've written several books, and I will read or hear or something. You know, it's something that'll just all of a sudden make me stop. You know, the whoa, what is that? And that's when I tune into that intuitive side of me, and I start to ask, what is that? Mm-hmm. How does this apply? You know, yep. And is this something I want to write about? Yeah, a lot of times it is. You know, I want to get that down.
There's your passion right there coming out.
The passion. And, you know, sometimes it comes in the shower. Sometimes it comes when I wake up from a dream. I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. I, you know.
And oftentimes it comes from reading other people's stuff.
And that exactly. It comes, but it doesn't come from reading and fast. It comes right from this. All of a sudden I stop enough to slow down, to just be with that, whatever that concept is.
Yeah.
And then that's where the insight, the intuition starts to tune in for me.
I agree. And like I'll have something will pique a curiosity because of that sort of, oh, wow, that's interesting. I want to know more about that. And then I'll dive into that more directly. That's not about all the noise. And all, that's more of a focused, oh, I like that. I want to know more about that. Yeah. And you follow that because that's kind of part of the passion, right? And that all comes into alignment with that stillness that you're talking about, because that stillness not only gives us access to the intuition, it gives us access to the collective, to the soul.
Exactly. So what I'd like to shift gears for a second, and I'd like to tune into the hidden connection between energy and prosperity.
Hidden connection? Okay, well, there's hidden connections and there's not so hidden, you know, sort of obvious connections, right? I guess we all know about the obvious connections between energy and prosperity. You know, work. You know, energy to work, energy to keep it going. You know, energy does play a big role. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about the not so obvious connections. Is there a particular place you want to go?
Well, you know, when I think of energy, and I think of the maybe the Vedic scriptures of the Hindus, you know, where they're talking about the prana coming into the body. You know, pranic energy. A lot of times we think we get energy, you know, from, oh, I don't know, an energy drink or food or some, you know, and of course that adds to the body and what have you. But mm-hmm. ultimately, you know, if the body is sitting there and it's all the life force has gone out of it, you can give it all the food you want. It's not coming back. Because there's this hidden force hidden from, you know, the senses, I guess. That we all have within us. And, you know, how to stimulate that energy to bring forth what we want in this world.
Yeah, I mean, here's where I'll go with that. I mean, yes, we all have access to this life force, we'll call it, this energy of the universe. But again, like you just asked, how do we stimulate that? How do we, you know, keep it going? And I think this has to do, or I'm going to go with it for now, is this third element that I was talking about, you know, mind, body, what we think, what we do. And then the third one is what we surround ourselves with and what environment we're in. So our environment provides energy to us. And, you know, I love the word zeitgeist. It's defined as, let's see if I can give you a full definition. It's, the dominant cultural, intellectual, ethical, and political climate of a specific era. I mean, that's pretty interesting, right? So that climate, that zeitgeist is part of our where we are, who we are right now, right here and right now. And that's gonna feed into our energy field, if you will. So this is about the field that we are playing in, right? And it's not just the zeitgeist that we find ourselves in. Well, you can almost say, well, we didn't really have a choice of when and where we were born. But there are other elements that we do have choice over. The people that surround us, the place and time, you know, the place that we're in, Environment. I have a friend who's a master of feng shui, and she talks about, you know, changes you can make to your immediate environment that make huge difference in your energy. And that's just one of many fields, you know, of energy, right? Feng shui is just one study. So there's a lot we can do and a lot we have control over that is about the energy field that we find ourselves in.
Yeah, if my audience doesn't know about feng shui, I encourage you to learn about it. One of the teachers that I've had on my show several times is Marie Diamond. You might want to check out her. You know, I know that for me, when I first learned about feng shui, we switched up the the way furniture was placed and a lot of different pictures, all kinds of stuff in my home, physical things. And it was the most profound thing in my whole life. I mean, it's like there was a switch that got turned on with my finances. Instantly.
It should not be underestimated. I probably underestimated it a lot in my life until I, you know, really woke up to it. And it's this expert that I know who sort of, you know, turned me on to some simple things that are like, wow, that's amazing. It really does affect the energy field. Yeah. And that energy field affects our motivation, our ability to stay on track and be perseverant and be, you know, show courage and all the things that we were talking about before. Right?
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that I know you're big on, you talked about, you know, is the emotional states that also create frequency, vibration, and energy within us, and how to hold those states for long periods of time.
Well, yes. And access them. I mean, there are various emotional strategies that we can use to access emotional states, get out of the emotional states that we don't want to be in, all of that. And we can talk about some of those practices, but what's important is we have more power and control of our emotions than I think a lot of people think we do. Yeah. If to a lot of people, it feels like emotions just happen to us or come, you know, rise up and we can't control it. And in fact, we can learn to control it. It kind of goes back to what we were saying earlier about practicing, you know, and being aware and practicing. And so that emotional, you know, intelligence, if you will, emotional control is part of that practice. There's a lot, you know, there's a lot to it. And you know, you see a sort of different emotional palette, if you will, from people who are experiencing great wealth.
Yeah.
And so what does that mean? Does it mean they have different emotions? No, it means they have a different emotional palette. It means they frequent different emotions at different times and places than the rest of us, perhaps. So can we choose our emotional palette? Yes. Yes, we can.
Well, and when we choose that emotional pattern, you and I go back many years now. And, you know, one of the things we've done with each other is we've helped each other to recognize patterns in our own lives and in our businesses that we can improve upon. I mean, yes. You and I both do that really well together. That's a collaborative piece. I think that there's a piece here where with the heightened state of emotion that we do, that there's an awareness that comes in. There's a synergy that's built between all successful business owners or anybody that wants to create wealth. You know, again, just circling back on that piece about the collective doesn't, you know, it can start with two or more of us, and you and I do that very effectively. I want you to talk about that from your point of view with the audience here, because, you know, there's a lot of people still trying to do everything on their own, and it especially entrepreneurs, and it doesn't work, people. It just doesn't work.
Right. Agreed. And so who you surround yourself with and who you share access of the collective with, because that's what's happening. You know, when you and I talk, even just like you said, two people, when we dig in and we let it flow, we're accessing the collective. We're accessing the you know, the Akashic record, as he puts it. Yeah. And where we go, how we navigate it is important. What information we can pull out of there, right, for ourselves. And so, yes, who we surround ourselves with, who we do that navigation with, who we're journeying with is really important. In fact, that's one of the things we can sort of grab a hold of and control almost more than anything else that has a huge effect is who are we around all the time? Who do we associate with? And you'll see, like you were just saying, people who are experiencing wealth don't do it alone.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I know when I first reached out to you, I think somebody recommended that I connect with Christopher Van Buren. I was like, oh, well, why? You know, well, Christopher's a marketing genius, man. This guy collects emails like people, collect, I don't know, whatever. You know? And you know, but it wasn't just emails. You know, you collect friends, you collect relationships, you collect people that are making a difference in the world. And I thought, you know, this guy is worth. But here's my point. When I connected with you, I felt this synergy between us from day one. You must have felt the same. And we've used that over the years, right? We've come together, you know, so many times over the years where I was stuck or you were stuck or we just needed that next step in business. And, you know, what happens is, you know, every time, the ideas flow, the money starts flowing, the business changes, we grow, we develop, we connect with other people, we share things. My point to my audience is that just find that one person. You don't have to find 20 people. You find that one person that will be with you for years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As we have.
Yes. And and it's not effort. It's easy and it's fun. Yes. Right? And we just go where we go and it creates results.
Yeah.
I definitely think that's a very important and sort of easy to get a hold of piece to this.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it. Defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, you know, I think the key that I know, Christopher, when I look back at it is I was really clear with what I was looking for. You know, I was looking for somebody that was easygoing, that was successful, that was growing and evolving, that wanted to help make a difference in the world. You know, I had clear standards that I was going to work with in finding that person. And I didn't know it would be you, but I knew what I wanted. Right.
Right.
Yeah, going in. And that's clear. I think clarity is power. And I was clear going in.
Yeah. And for me, I guess I could say, just kind of looking back, and I think I do this in general, just as valid a process is I'm sort of feeling it along the way. Like I'm feeling the feedback and I'm feeling the intuition. Oh, you know, you, for example, have been very revealing to me about you and your life and your past and all that. And when I can sometimes feel that and like, oh, you know, my intuition is telling me this is somebody I can trust. You know, this is somebody who's being honest with me. So that process is part of that intuitive, you know, accessing of who you are and what's real for you, even when you're dealing with someone else. And I think that's been key to our relationship too. Yeah.
I think the other key to our relationship is being of unconditional service to one another without expectations. I'm not sure we started there, but we sure are there today. You know, I'm just, you reach out to me. Hey, Ken, how can I support you today? Hey, I got this new idea. I do the same thing with you. Hey, by the way, let's do this and that together, you know?
And you could even say that that's just us sharing our passions with each other and inviting participation.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So we're not, you know, I'm sharing this today with my audience, you know, because I really want them to have a deeper look at, you know, at you and me and how we got there, because this is a collaboration that's worked for many years and has helped literally tens of thousands of people as a result of our collaboration. Mm-hmm. So I think it's an important piece that we talk about, because we're really talking about I think we're really talking about authentic power and how to step into authentic power, which creates wealth.
True. Yes. Interesting to think of it in that way. It's stimulating some thoughts in me already. What is authentic power and how it stimulates wealth? Definitely stimulates wealth. And what came to me first, I'm just going to blurt this out, when you said authentic power, is what came to my mind when you said that was, it's not about trying to have power. It just came along with the practice that you and I have done together, right?
Yeah.
And I could actually extend that into other places in my life. It's like, I'm not out to get power. I'm not out to get wealth. I'm out to do what's right for me and have a blast doing it and satisfy, you know, what I'm passionate about and be around people, you know, that are good, that are harmonizing with me and aligning with it. And it's all a process that's enjoyable, right? It leads to more power. It leads to that thing. But that's not in my mind like, oh, I'm going there, you know, to build power. Right. I'm just kind of free associating here because stimulator.
That's good. You know, I can tell you what inauthentic power is. You know, inauthentic power is about control. It's about command. It's about telling you what to do, when to do, and how to do it. It's about chasing wealth for wealth's sake. It's that piece. But authentic power is like you just defined. It's that place where alignment. It comes back to alignment.
Yeah.
It comes back to just, you know, it's very interesting. When I first met my wife, Chris, we had, she said, you know, I want our relationship to be about ease and grace. And at the time I thought, ease and grace, what the heck is that? Listen, we need to have commitment. We need to have follow through. We need to have, we need to set goals and be here and do this. Right. You want to be in a relationship that won't work, just do that. But if you want to be, yeah. You know, but she taught me, you know, ease and grace and how that shows up. And that is authentic power.
Yeah.
It's that place where we allow things to unfold, allow relationships to unfold, allow our own understanding of what our gifts are, our abilities, our talents, allow them to unfold. And, it takes courage to do that, man.
Yes. And practice and motivation and energy and all the things we just talked about.
Yeah.
I agree. I call that what you were describing there. And this is not meant to to be a gratuitous plug, but I call that the noble spirit, to walk and live in our nobility. And that's our individual way, with our individual values. So, you know, what we value and what we hold true as true is an essential key here. Yeah. And so that great, you know, what your wife said, you know, ease and grace, those are values. And it's and really big value, really big essential ones that, you know, I love that.
Yeah. Well, Chris, we got to the end here, and I want my audience to know how to get a hold of you. And we didn't talk about some of the practical things you do to really help people. You know, Chris helps entrepreneurs to bring out to market, to bring out their books, to bring out their and
courses, programs,
and what have you. Yeah. So, Chris, how do we get a hold of you? And just tell them a little bit about what you do, because, you know, I didn't get there. So
Sure. True. I do work with a lot of sort of small businesses and entrepreneurs, and solopreneurs, to sort of build some essentials in their business, focusing primarily on email marketing and list building. Like you said, getting their book out or their program out or something like that. I also just work with individuals on this idea of the noble spirit. I have a program called The Code of the Noble Spirit, and it's about values and other things, and living your code. And so that's just something I do that I love, and it's available to everybody. And I'm always tweaking it and adding things. it's a journey in itself. And you can find me at launchmoxie.com. That's my website, primary website.
And just for my listening audience, can you spell that out?
Yeah, absolutely. It's launch, L-A-U-N-C-H, moxie, M-O-X-I-E, launchmoxie.com. And you'll find ways to contact me through that website, and you can search around and see all the different things in there, including my Noble Spirit stuff is in there, along with a lot of other people's stuff. And so it's kind of fun to just browse around as well.
I love it. What a wonderful discussion, Christopher Van Buren. Thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, well, we'll do it again.
Yes. Yes, we will.
All righty. And I want to thank all of you for joining me today. Again, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork. I encourage you to do that. Give us a like over there. And of course, if this program resonated with you, please pass it on to family and friends and business associates that would benefit from this conversation. Till next time, if you watch this show, you will continue to see the unseeable and know the unknowable, and most likely be able to do the impossible. So thank you for being here.